Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together and have a look at what's going on in the heavens, what's going on the earth, and trying to figure a few of those things out. And this is Mark Wall saying hello from New York City. And I'm joined by my colleague,
Dan Ortley, and I'm over here on the east side at my bright red desk, and we're waiting for Heather to come. We know she's on her way.
She will come in representing the Midwest.
The Midwest, coming from Minnesota, you know, they're very...
Something like that,
yep, cool.
Okay. So, what's going on?
A week ahead.
Up above. What's going on up above?
Lots of stuff. It's kind of busy up there. I think most importantly, we still have that Cardinal Cross. And Cardinal Crosses are all about taking action. So I have a lot of people that are feeling like they have to take action and do things, because they do, actually. Cardinal Crosses kind of inspire us to do stuff. And this week, Venus sets it off twice. First, she opposes Uranus, and then she squares Jupiter. Last week, she played with Pluto. So Venus, as the planet of relationships, desires, and connections, is making a lot of important points in terms of what her vision is of things and how she's supposed to proceed. So I think a lot of people are in, you know, working on very strong relationship parts in their life, relationships in, relationships out. What do they really need? What do they really want? So I know that seems to be what I keep running into when people are talking. And, of course, our whole life is about relationships, good, bad, or indifferent. We are social critters, and part of our path is what our relationships are like and how they reflect or don't reflect what we're looking for in our life. So what have you been running into in terms of relationship stuff in your world?
Well, a lot of
or
things,
just in terms of the Cardinal Cross, you know.
Yeah, a lot of things I think reflect that Jupiter in Cancer. That Jupiter in Cancer is actually quite strong. It's a strong Jupiter. And because it has a lot of compassion and care. And so we have a strong sense of being socially responsible. And I think that's reflected a lot with this square, the T-square.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposition to Uranus really makes us do things that we didn't quite expect we had in us for the opposition of Venus-Uranus. And then squaring Jupiter excites it and makes it larger and bigger and actually also takes us out of our usual realm. So we're a little more willing to look at things that are beyond our everyday concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can have in some ways a larger sense of relationship than we sometimes do. Sometimes we think relationship is me and my significant other. And
mm-hmm.
here there becomes a plural on the other, significant others.
Others, and right.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think there's a lot of that feeling that, you know, it's not just me and my closest partner, but how we are connected into a whole social world.
Right, right. And how that social world comes forward. Okay. And I
the opposition to Uranus makes it a little bit like there's an awareness that comes in that, well, I can't really be free to be myself unless I'm aware of how everyone else needs to have their freedom to be themselves. There's a lot more awareness of, in order to get freedom, I have to give freedom.
Right, right. That there's a whole process there involved with it.
Right.
And what is the business? that you're looking for. And the Jupiter opposite the Pluto has got a lot to do with what the power dynamic is and how we see it or how we don't see it. So.
Yes.
And how
and
we can work with it.
It's, mm-hmm. it's good that we have this little need to take care of this now because we're going to see Pluto and Uranus square again soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they keep carrying through this theme of power versus freedom, you know, the who's free, who's got the power, all of that. And so we have this moment here where Venus and Jupiter are hooked into that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that sense of, again, you know, in order to get freedom, I have to give freedom.
Right.
So we're seeing a lot of that. It is a theme. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are trying to take it the other direction, trying to take it away. In other words, some people are saying, well, there's too much freedom. We have to clamp down on that. And they're starting to sound that Pluto-Uranus square theme again.
Right. In terms of how it shows up or what's possible. Yeah, it's the clamping
right.
down certainly is the Pluto. And the saying freedom, freedom, and breaking free for freedom is the Uranus.
Right.
And we forget that is happening in each of our charts at the degree of 9, and that's getting set off this week by Venus. So we're all being very made very much aware of what is our desire for connection, what is our desire for freedom, and where do we need to change or expand our life to accommodate those needs. I often find when Uranus is activated, like it is this week by Venus, there's a sense of needing to break free, that there's like, okay, I've been doing this, but I need to change this up and do something different now. And I don't know quite what I need to do, but I know I need to break free. So I think that
mm-hmm.
part, watching where you're feeling hooked in or caught in, it's really important to pay attention to because that's going to definitely tie back to, you know, what's possible for you in terms of what you need to, where you need to be broken free so you have more room in your life to do the things you really truly want to do. And I think
right.
that's important. Yeah. The other thing that happens this week is Mars yesterday went into Leo, 10 o'clock at night. And Mars in Leo has got a lot to do with creativity. But he also is in the sign of Leo, so he answers to the sun's purpose. So the sun right now is in Virgo, so there's a lot of stories around creativity in terms of, around your creativity in terms of service, in terms of which direction you want to head in and what you want to do. And that's going to be in Leo for 50 days, 5-0, and then it shifts into Virgo. But the first chunk of it, because it's in Leo, is going to feel Virgo-ish because it's answering to Virgo. And I had a client once who said he was a stellium in Leo, and he goes, I love Virgos. I could curl up and put my head in their lap and just rest there forever. And I thought, that's really nice, you know, because Virgos are very much. They'll comb your hair. They'll fix you up. There's a quality of taking care of things. So with the sun in Virgo, and Mars now in Virgo, Mars is going to want to have that quality of taking care of things and fixing things and helping things move forward. And I think if we honor that, that's an important component of the week because that's kind of got a, you know, an energy of, okay, well, what do you need to fix? What do you need? Not even fix. What do you need to do to move this along better than fixing? And what do you think of when you see Mars in Leo?
Well, I think it's a great place for Mars because
mm-hmm.
all the fire signs are good for Mars. Mars loves that sense of just do it, you know, move out there. Any of the fire signs promote that. They're action oriented, and that's Mars. And then also having the quality that Leo has of being very straightforward, very much out there, and like the full sunshine at the middle of the day on the beach, you know,
mm-hmm.
that sort of total shine of energy. It's good for Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mars in Aries, it can feel like too much, you know.
Yeah.
But Mars in Leo, it feels like that that sun. I suppose that a full bright sun in the desert is maybe not so nice. But other than in the desert when you don't have any water, it's really a wonderful warmth. And that's what Mars does in Leo. And there's a sense that Mars picks up that he's shining not just for himself, but for everyone that he shines on. And that's why it feels, for the most part, really a good, strong Mars.
Yeah, I like Mars in Leo. I find it's a fun energy because it also wants to play. And it wants to say, okay, so what do we need to do to play and make this be a little more fun and a little more creative and a little more da-da? So when we find Mars in that sign, there's a lot of energy about, well, what's the creative, playful place to stand. The other thing we're having this week is Ceres, and she's going into Virgo until November 3rd, 68 days, I think I calculated. And Ceres likes being in Virgo, too, because she's the sign of the grain. She's the Mother Earth, grain grower. So Virgo, while Ceres is now a dwarf planet, but she also has a very large job to do as far as Virgo is concerned, because she's about tending to the hearth and tending to the process that goes on and how it goes on. So a lot of her energy is going to be very geared towards that as she enters Virgo and then runs through that for 68 days. And she's a little slower than the other outer planets because she's past Mars, between Mars and Jupiter, so she spends a little longer in every sign. But I find Ceres is in Virgo is a wonderful time. It's great time then, and that's on the 28th, I think it is, she enters, let me see, on the 28th, which is today. So she's got a lot to do with, you know, caretaking about diet and food and what you eat and why you eat it and how you eat it. So there's a lot of energy with her around that kind of thing. So what do you notice with Ceres?
Well, I was just thinking, there's such a strong interest in the last several years in gluten-free.
Yes.
And that'll be heightened with Ceres in Virgo, very much an awareness of how what we eat, and especially grains, how they affect us. And
how they affect our system.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And especially how we digest them, or don't, yeah. But it's really a lot of the small intestine work.
Yeah.
Where we absorb the nutrients that we need, but we have to sort out what we don't need or what we might react to. So having Ceres there will really make people very much aware.
And also it's a lot about food supply. So, you know, there seems to be a lot running around lately with Monsanto and jumping up and down and, what the source of the food is and how it's kept and what it's like. And the whole focus. Ceres also rules bees. Virgo rules bees. So they may actually figure out what's going on with the bees. I know one of the things that, you know, bats are very big at pollinating too. One of the things they had figured out was what was causing that bat disease that was making all the bats die. So maybe they'll figure out what's causing the bee disease and making all the bees die as part of this journey, because it's definitely tied, you know, there's a correlation whenever in a planet's in Virgo. Virgo is able to draw, well, the reason that's happening is this. You know, they're very analytical and able to pick out the origins of the problem or the origins of the story. So that whole energy around, well, what's the origin and how's it happening, is easily or more easily solved when planets are in Virgo, because they want to solve the process and fix things up and help them change. And then I think last but not least, on the weekend, on the 31st on Memorial Day, the moon is going to be setting off the T-square again. And it's in Cancer, so it's going to set off that T-square, Pluto, Uranus, Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, all day long. So the 31st is going to be an interesting day. And, of course, we have a holiday this weekend. Labor Day happens. So we have the Sun trine Mars in the middle of this also. And we didn't talk about it, but are we doing the show next week on Wednesday? Because that's Rosh Hashanah, and that is also, I don't know, are we doing it? We should probably decide that. So the Sun trines Pluto on Sunday, which is a lot about the power and how we're gonna connect with things and what we're going to do about stuff. And so the Sun trine Pluto is, you know, it happens every year because the Sun goes around the chart in the course of a year, but it also, for many of us, has a quality of a reset, you know, or an understanding about what power dynamics are running in our lives and how we want to work with them. So that's happening too. It's a busy week, you know, it really is. So
it is.
Yeah.
As for next week, we can we'll try to do it. I'm actually going to be up in Western Massachusetts, and sometimes the cell phone connection is not so good there, but usually it is.
Okay, cool. I'm home, so I can definitely do it. But I thought, ooh, we never talked about that. We forgot about that at the beginning of the show. Should we talk next week? It's Labor Day, you know? Or should we rest because we work so hard all the rest of the time? So we're going to talk. Okay, that'll work, if you get the cell phone.
I think we will. And the other thing is that for this show, because people can pick it up anytime.
Yes.
It's easier to sort of leave it.
And not worry about when we actually record.
We don't have to gather people all at the same moment.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. Cool. All right, good. So anything else you want to say about the week? We got some callers on the line, so we can pick them up in a minute. Any other?
I think that pretty well hits the highlights.
The highlights,
you know what to watch for. Big on the relationships and big on processing.
Yeah. Emotional processing, emotional readiness. And I think it also, you know, part of the energy as we shift from, you know, we're in Virgo land now. Virgo, of course, is the mutable sign that marks the end of the season of summer. Summer's not over yet, not until the 20th of August. But we start to feel that chill in the air, and we start to see the variable nature. And Virgo, of course, as a sign of allowing us to adjust and change things. This is an excellent, excellent week for any kind of health modifications, anything you want to do where you're changing your life up and you're helping it shift into something else. Because the heavens are totally supporting, I need to change this and shift this into a new place. And they'll kind of go, yeah, I'm with you. I got your back. So I encourage people, if they've got a vision of what they want to shift, to really push it this week, because the energy is with you, and the Sun is, Mars is in the sign of the Sun, so your ego is able to express itself adequately or express truly what it wants. So go for it. So we'll now pick up some callers, unless you have anything else you want to add.
Okay.
All right. Hi, 416-419. You're on the line. How can we help? You there?
Hi,
you're on the line. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're
my
welcome.
Birthday for me. Thank you. I adore and love you guys. 1978, June 6th is my birth information.
Okay.
And I live in
June
Toronto.
June 6th, 1978. What time?
Yeah. It's a quarter after 1, which is 1:15 p.m. Mm-hmm.
And where?
In Hungary.
What city? Hello?
Hello?
Did I lose you? Hello? Uh-oh, I lost her. Well, she's born somewhere in Hungary, but I don't know what her question is, and I don't know where she went. Uh-oh, that's not good. Mercury is playing with us again, Mark. It's like that kind of thing. She completely dropped off. She's not even on the queue anymore. Okay, well, we're sorry, Hungary. We don't know what happened to you, but call back in and we'll pick you up. All right, so we'll go to we'll go to 212-643. Hello, you're back on the air. How are you?
Hi, I'm fantastic. Thank you.
You're
my
welcome.
Birthday is 9/1/57, 12:03 p.m.
12:03 p.m.
Mm-hmm. New York City, New York. And there's like a block with the financial flow. Something's going on. So I'd like to find out about that. And when is it going to start flowing again?
Okay, September 1st, 1957, 12:03 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Block with the financial flow. Saturn right now is in your 12th house, so you're releasing a lot of really old stuff. And he's been arguing with Uranus, which is a lot about the way it moves. Jupiter rules your second house, just went into Cancer, and it's in the 8th house of debt. So it's really more, you get $5, you spend $5. You get $10, you need $10. Actually, your expenses seem to have been gone up. Is that possible? Is it showing up more
that
way?
Yeah, but that's exactly how it's coming. Like, it's just coming exactly what I need. No more,
no less. Yep. That's going to be like that for a little bit longer.
How much?
you really want me to tell you?
I do, because I want to generate more, yeah.
Well, it's not that you can't generate more. What's happened is, it's you're getting what you need, but you're not getting extra. It's just kind of it's a twofold thing. It's the Saturn Jupiter trine in your 12th house to Jupiter in the 8th of debt. So they're trying to keep the debt down, and the Saturn is working on finishing up karma. He doesn't get out of that house for a little bit longer. So he's in a wrap up stage. So I'm going to say probably the end of November, maybe a little later, maybe more January. Think of it as a, and I don't say that in a mean way, I'm just thinking of it as you got to get Jupiter out of the house of expenses, because right now he's really just pumping them in. And so you're keeping even, which is good.
Yeah.
If you can cut back on stuff, that would help, because you'd feel a little more flush. But Jupiter in the house of money going out, he's just, you get $5 more, you're going to get a bigger expense. He doesn't get out of that house until January, February. And, it's just, if you think back to 2001 and you think back to 89 and to 77, each of those years you had more expenses than you had income. It's just a little cycle that happens every 12 years or so. So it's not forever. But it's for now, and, there's a lot of hidden ways, a lot of things you can go back. This is often set up for you to go and look at all the stuff you're spending money on and seeing if you still really want to do it. So I had something slightly similar. It's a little different. I have Saturn in my house of debt. So I had a credit card denied. The thing was expired or whatever. I had the wrong year.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and looked, and I'd been paying $49 a month for the service, and now I only have to pay $19. And I went, I just saved myself $30. I mean, I didn't save it. The universe saved it. But I had Saturn going through the 8th, which is kind of pairing expenses. You've got Jupiter going through the 8th saying, look at your expenses. Look at how they're expanding and look at ways you can cut them.
But
it does go
career?
Away, but it's for a while. Huh? Pardon?
Does career work in there too? Like, is there going to be generate some good money with the career because I'm a freelancer?
Well, you're a freelancer, so Saturn behind in the 12th, you're really not getting as much work as you normally get, right?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes, exactly. On the money.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason it's kind of getting you to pay attention, because Saturn's in your 12th through January, too. January also. Mark, do you see anything different? I want to give her a sense of optimism. Huh?
Right.
Yeah, it's all
going
to go till about January or something. But...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but the good news is that no matter what phase you're in, and you do go through these phases, you're a survivor.
Yeah.
She has that hookup of Pluto, Sun, and Mars.
Yeah.
And you pull those together. You just have to buckle down, do the work. And sometimes when you're in this phase where things are, you're having to examine them, you can do that very easily and just take the smaller jobs sometimes.
Yeah, I'm going out for a lot of jobs, but nothing's kind of coming back. I mean, I'm doing a lot of work, and I'm really doing a lot of work and a lot of organizing and a lot of cleaning out of papers and everything, and cleaning up the financial, the years of accounting, all that kind of stuff. But I just really want to work.
Okay, it'll come. But,
well, you can, but this is what the universe wants you doing is what you're doing. It's releasing the past. So it's cleaning up the old debt, cleaning up the old papers, releasing them, shredding them. The more you do that, the more you'll get regular work in. That is your work right now.
Yeah. It's part of the overall, you know, running your freelance business. You have to do this stuff too.
So by January, does it look like there's going to be a shift or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts to shift the beginning of November, but it's not, you know, it you're not, you're going to go, well, that was the shift. I'm not happy with that. because you're not. You're going to go, well, that was okay, but that's not enough. I hope that's not all that's coming. So November it shifts, January it shifts. You start to feel flush again, like you're caught up and everything's moving full once we get to May. But really, January, you're going to go, okay, the worst is, not the worst, but the part of the, I have to clean all this stuff up. What you're really doing is you're planting seeds. You're basically, think of yourself as 9 months pregnant. You're waiting for the baby to come. Baby comes in January. But in the meantime, right. You know, everybody's patting your belly and saying, oh, you look so good. But you're painting the nursery and getting all the stuff ready. And then when Saturn comes into your first house, then we're going to say, okay, ready to go. Now, you go into false labor in November. You know, they might have a big job that looks really good, but then it kind of falls out.
Is
or
it
shows
or
up, but it doesn't. Huh?
Is it twins or triplets?
Twins or triplets. And then once Saturn gets out of your 12, then it starts, you're going to be seen. You can get a lot of work where you're working behind the scenes.
Right, I am.
Meaning
yeah.
that you're working
yeah.
for other people, doing work for them, but not necessarily having your own name on it. So those kind
of
jobs
out of the 12th
totally.
When? Yeah.
It gets out of the 12th in November.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're going to be bidding on stuff and kind of feeling like, gee, I'm not really getting what I thought I deserve. It gets out of the 12th as of November 13th. But
I find myself to – go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
That's when you're going to start getting credit for your own work again. But you're still not going to make money like you want to make money until January.
I find myself doing all these health things now. Is that going like cleaning up my health and
yes.
working out and trying to
yes.
like
yes.
prepare
yeah.
myself? Does that all seem right?
That's all
yep.
part of it. The note of fate is going through yourself, your sixth house of organizing your stuff and getting it ready for the next chapter. Yeah.
All right.
And it's really nice of the planets to set things up that way, because otherwise, if you had plenty of work to do, you would just be overworking and not paying attention to the
mm-hmm.
so
right
that's
exactly
why, that's why you get it now. So just realize that you're in that phase, because you go through phases rather than doing everything a little bit each day.
It's limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I feel
yeah,
like limbo.
Yeah. Limbo's a good word for it. But you know, part of what, you know, we have this whole thing in our culture, constant growth, and we don't, you know, always know. So part of it is there's a part of the work you're doing is supposed to go away that you're really finished with on some level, but perhaps are economically dependent on it. So a lot of the time when you find yourself spending time on things that you're like, gee, why do I have this? It's an opportunity to clean it. One of the things Mark does, which I think is really brilliant, is years he goes through his bookcases and reorganizes them and throws out books or shifts them around, because it changes how you think. Part of what you're doing as you're going through all these papers is you're kind of going down memory lane, and, you know, like you're 9 months pregnant, giving birth to you, and you're seeing your life in a different perspective because you're going through the old stuff. That's the beauty of it. The
right.
difficult part is you're going, I don't have any money. It's like, no, you don't have money. You're not poor, but you don't have, like, what you want, but you're also got to clear the old out to get the perspective on what the new's going to be. Does that make
sense?
I'm
not poor yet. I'm almost, it's like, I'm almost there. I'm just like, you know, every month it's just funny. It's just coming exactly what I need. And,
totally.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I can't even, like, do the extra things anymore.
Yep.
Right.
Well, because you got other stuff you're supposed to be working on. That,
right.
Think of it that way, that, you know, they're paying your bills, you're paying your bills, but you're not growing. You're not dying, you're sustaining, right? You're staying
I feel
the same.
That, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're focusing
Thanks.
On other stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
You
okay,
are welcome.
You're welcome.
Good luck with it. And when it gets
Thank
to be
you.
February, you're going to be really happy.
And then
right.
I'll call again.
Okay,
and then
yeah,
she'll call
yeah.
again, right. So 10
That's
seconds,
great.
The show's over. Ian Ortley signing off here on the Bright Red Desk.
And Mark Wolf. Over on the west side of Manhattan. And we'll check in with Heather next time.
Yeah, so have a great time.
Okay,
folks.
Thank you all.
Talk to you next week. Okay,
bye-bye.
Okay,
bye now.